Hey, this is Pastor Doug Page, and we are looking at the book of 1 John, talking about the topic of that we may know. John helps us understand that we as Christians can have assurance in knowing that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we're going to be listening to this and studying this for the next several weeks. Hope you'll continue to join us. Now, let's jump into this podcast. And for more information, join us at grapevinesfirst.org.
Well, good morning, church. I'll do a John and then good morning, church. Hello, if I haven't met you or if you're a first-time guest, my name is Noah. I'm the student pastor here at First Grapevine. And you know things are going pretty bad if they're letting the student pastor preach. Am I right? No, I'm so excited to share what I feel like God has put on my heart and what he has in store for us in his word. But first, I do want to tell you a story. And so I was born and raised in this great state of Texas. And if you're like me, or if you're not like me, you know everyone else grew up a very big fan of football. Any football fans in the room? Grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. Anybody suffer with me in that? Amen. Hey, at least our stadium's nice. And I loved football so much as a young boy, as a middle schooler. And I remember when I went into middle school, I joined the football team. Now, I've never played up to that point, just pure optimism. And as you could tell by my stature, I was quite the athlete in middle school. Thank you. That was a joke. And I remember being so excited to join the middle school football team. And I go on. And if you know anything about football, there's something at the beginning of the game called the kickoff. Now, the NFL is obviously getting rid of that. But in college and high school, what they do is if you're on the opposing team, what you do is you kick the ball off to the receiving team, and your only job is to tackle the guy with the ball. And if you're on the receiving team, your only job is to make sure they don't tackle your guy that has the ball. And so one of my middle school games on seventh grade B team, Bird Middle School, I get put on return team. And as you could tell, I was so excited. I'm like, I'm ready. I got my assignment. I go out there. I stand on the hash line. I'm ready. And I sit there. And the other team kicks the ball off. I look, our guy catches it. I look up, and everything just went so wrong. Just pure disaster. I couldn't tell my left from my right. I was looking at this guy trying to tackle. He went this way. I tried to tackle this guy. He went that way. I'm not even kidding. If there was videotape, I literally started doing this at one point. I was like, I'm trying to block someone. And I didn't know where I was going. And safe to say, coach pulled me off the return team pretty quickly. And I remember the next kickoff, I go out there and coach yanks me. One of the coaches yanks me. He goes, Vice, you're not going out there because last time you went out there, you didn't know what you were doing. You just ran around in circles. And he was right. Now, was that a little bit coaching? Maybe a little bit, I would argue. But he's got a point. He was right. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. And so that led to problems. And I think as human beings, we need purpose. We want to know what our purpose is. I love that today is Senior Sunday. I love seeing all the seniors here and us getting to celebrate them. And I feel like as a culture, we love graduations. There's something about it. If you go to a graduation, it's all smiles and rainbows. Even if you barely passed, if you scratch and clawed your way through school, even for college, you go into debt, the teachers hated you, you hated the teachers, you know, your kids didn't like it, or your kid didn't like you during the time, right? It's like, but all of a sudden, all those tensions, all the problems that we had in school, and the worries, and it all goes away. It turns into excitement, right? Graduations are a time of excitement. Why? Because they represent something. Our students, the ones that we just saw, you're no longer a child. You're becoming an adult. You're entering into society. What is your purpose? Seniors, you've gotten this all year, and you're going to get this for the next 3 months. Everyone you know will ask you, what are you doing? Where are you going? What are you studying? What's your plan? What are you going to get a job? All those questions. Why? Because we want to know your purpose. I mean, look at the program we gave you. What does it say? It says where they're going and what they're doing. We want purpose. But I feel like there's probably a lot of us in the room who, it's been a while since we've been in high school. Maybe it's been a while since college. 5 years, 15 years, 30 years, 50 years. And we realize that in life, we don't always get another graduation. What I mean by that is we don't always get another time where everyone is asking you and looking forward your purpose. Because in high school, even though it is a big decision, high school, it's pretty clear. Go get a job or go to school. Go do something. In college, it's about the same. But if you spend some time in life, you realize you don't always get that clarity. Maybe you've moved cities. You've had kids. You've had friends, families. You've lost family. You've lost friends. You've made mistakes. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes. And it doesn't always seem that you have purpose. I don't know what my next step is. And my question today is, does the Bible talk about this? Do I have a purpose even when I feel like I've lost it? Well, if you turn with me in our Bibles today, we're going to be in Matthew 28. So Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. And this is what we do in students as you turn there. Once you get there, say, got it. And if you're still turning there, say, give me a sec. All right, I'll give you a sec. So we're going to be in Matthew 28, 19. If you have been in church or if you've been a Christian for a while, you should be familiar with this verse. This is called the Great Commission. This is the end of the book of Matthew. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He is about to ascend to heaven. And this is one of the last, very last things he tells his disciples. He gives them this commission. He tells them these very words. This is the context of what we're reading. So Matthew 28, verses 19, it says this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so, if you get anything from what I'm going to say today, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a Christian, you have a purpose. Your purpose is to make disciples. So that phrase, make disciples, in these verses, that is the main idea. Every other verse in that passage is supplementing that very idea. Make disciples. But then Noah, what if I don't know how to do that? Or what if it's been a while since I've tried to do that? How does that look in my daily life? Maybe, like I said, you're in a place where you don't know, you feel like you've lost your purpose. Well, I think we're going to find it in this passage. And so we're going to see that our purpose is in four things. A place is at a place with the people to show persistence and in a person or in his presence. So the first point is this, is our purpose is at a place. Look at verse 19. It says, therefore make disciples of all nations. So this word, all nations, it actually is where we get the word ethnic from. This is referring to ethnic groups, people groups. Christianity is meant for the nations. Christianity is meant for the whole entire world. That is such a beautiful part of the faith that we have, is that God cares not just about us, but about every single person in the world. God wants to spread his word, make disciples of all nations, of all ethnic groups. And I pray, as First Baptist Grapevine, that we would be a church that sends people to go. I pray that there would be couples or single people or families in this very room that would feel that call and be convicted to go. Because that's clearly what it's saying. It's saying go to all nations. Now, I don't know what God's going to do. But statistically, there's probably a 99% chance that 99% of people in this room probably won't answer that call. And so the question is, okay, Noah, you said it's all nations. I get that. I've heard that before, but I'm not a missionary. What does that mean for me? Well, I think it applies to you. And let's look at two things, Jesus and his words. So the first thing is Jesus. We can estimate that historically, this is a rough estimation, but Jesus probably never traveled further than 100 miles from where he was born. So a 100-mile circle radius, Jesus never went further than that his entire life. And so if Jesus didn't really go that far, did Jesus demonstrate this great commission that he gave to his disciples? Yes. The answer is always yes for Jesus, right? It's Jesus. Yes, of course he did it right, right? You're going to say he did it wrong? No. Of course he did it right. But what does that mean? Well, I want you, if you ever been to Longview, Texas, where my wife and her beautiful family is from, or if you ever been to Houston or to Austin or Oklahoma City or Florida or Cancun on vacation, you have already gone further than Jesus ever went in his entire life. That's true. And so I don't think that it just because you don't go across seas, you can't be on mission. I want you to look at the very first word, go. And so our translations don't necessarily grasp the idea here because what he's saying is go, that is a participle. Now, if you're like me and didn't do well in your English classes in middle school, this is an ing word, ing, dancing, laughing, talking. There's this continuous idea. And so really, the way it's written is going. As you are going, make disciples. What he's saying is, as you walk, at the places you go, the places you live, that is where you make disciples. It's not necessarily the end place. It's where you make them, where you are at. This is where you live. This is your family. This is where you spend the most time. This is your work. This is who sees you 9 to 5 most days of the week. This is your school students or college students. This is where you go to school. This is where you spend your free time. This is the pickleball court. This is the restaurants. This is the grocery stores. This is everywhere as you are going. And so if you went to the early church and said, they said, hey, we're gonna go. And you said, well, Peter or, Paul or whoever in the early church. And you say, no, I'm not a missionary. I'm not called to be a missionary. They would look at you very confused because they didn't separate the idea. No, you're a Christian. Therefore, you are a missionary. No, I'm not a missionary. I'm not called to go overseas. What are you talking about? No, you are called. If you are a Christian, you have a purpose to make disciples at a place. And so that's the first point. We make disciples at a place. But our next point is when we get to that place, our purpose is with a people. So look at me at the end of verse 19. The word says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so what this means, and I love that we demonstrated that today. That is so cool. Every time I see a child or a student get baptized, it's hard for me to not get emotional because that is such a beautiful image of what God has done in our lives. And what he's saying here is our purpose is with the people. We as Christians are supposed to baptize. Now, you might say, well, Noah, does that mean you just said where I work and where I go to school? Do I pull up to work tomorrow in my truck with a bunch of water and a tarp? No, but if you do, please call me because that would be fun to watch. No, what does that mean? Be a part of the people of God. Why? Because the church will be baptizing. Just like here, if you're part of the people of God, they will be baptizing. It's the ordinance of the church. Baptism, the Lord's Supper. This happens not outside of the church, but within the church, the people of God. And I want to make this point. In redemption history, God has always used himself and his people to accomplish his purposes. I'm going to say that again. In redemptive history, God has always done this. He's always used himself, his people, to accomplish his purposes. And so himself, as we just saw, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one essence, the Trinity. And his people, look at the story of redemption. Look at the Bible. From Adam to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Moses to David to Solomon to Mary to Paul to Peter to John. And now to the church. God is using his people to redeem and himself. But I also want to say this, is if you want to fulfill our purpose, if our purpose is with the people, you have to be a part of the church. We just said that. That's the call. Baptism does not happen without the church. You can't do that. You can't separate God's redemptive purpose outside of his people. And so I really think what this looks like is you being involved in the church, being involved in the local church. For you to be part of your purpose, I really think part of that is being part of your local church, being involved where God's people are at. And so that's the first aspect. But the other side is maybe you're already part of the church. You're very active. You know, you volunteer. You're in the choir. You know, you make sure you're greeting on the greeting team or whatever it is. But this is another part. God is using his people to redeem his world. So let me say this, and I am guilty of it. And I'm sure no one else is like me, but I tend to complain about things. Right? And I'm sure no one else here does that. But it's so easy for us to look at the world and to complain about culture, to complain about the government, to complain about education, to complain about our family, to complain about our friends, to complain about our school, to complain about entertainment, you name it. But church, if God is using his people to be part of his story of redemption, then his people have to be a part of the culture that we live in. We cannot separate that. God has not called us to sit back and just watch the world go awry. He has not called us to sit back and watch things burn. We are a part of being of that purpose. So we are part of the people of God, and as the people of God, we are helping engage the world we live in. We are helping make a difference in the world that we see. Not on our own strength, obviously not. But this is by making disciples of Jesus. And so we looked at our purpose is out of place. Our purpose is with the people. And then the next point is our purpose is to show persistence. So this is really important. So go ahead and point in your Bible. I want you to put your finger on verse 20. So go ahead, take some time to do that. Verse 20, and I want you to really look at what it says. We'll read it together. Teaching them to share your opinion about the world on Facebook. Oh, sorry. No. I must have read that wrong. Let's try it again. Teaching them what you would do if you were in charge. Oh, dang it. Sorry, I left the readers at home. Let's try it again. Teaching them the intricacies of theology. No. Teaching them how to really raise their kids. No. Teach them how to make a successful business. No. Church, what does it say? Teaching them to observe all that have I commanded you. Church, please hear me say this. You can know the words of Jesus. You can teach the words of Jesus. But if you don't live the words of Jesus, you're not doing what Jesus said. I'm gonna say that again. You can know the word of God. You can teach the word of God. But if you're not living it out, that is not what Jesus has called us to do. And if you don't live it out, the world's not going to care about your message. It's not effective. I love that these seniors are part of Generation Z, Gen Z. And I'm not a sociologist, I'll admit that. But in my opinion, I think that this generation values authenticity more than any generation we've seen or any generation alive today. And like I said, I'm not a sociologist. There's probably a lot of reasons, but if Dr. Weiss took a stab at it, I honestly think it's because technology. Our students have had access to the internet their entire life, or have been in a culture that's been around. That's something unique to human history. And why I think that's relevant is because I think these students know when someone is being fake. These students know when someone's being phony. They know what it's like for someone to portray and make a profile of what they think they're like, but to not really live it out. And if I could speak specifically about our seniors today within the church, I think our seniors know what fake Christianity looks like. I really do. I think they know what it looks like for someone to have a verse in their profile pic or their bio and to still be living in blatant sin, or someone to have the cross tattoo or the Jesus piece, or to have all these Christian things, the bumper stickers, but to not really live it out week to week. that they're on church on Sunday, they're at church on Wednesday, but every other day of the week, they're not living out the faith that they claim. And we have to live it out. Our purpose is with persistence. That word obey can translate to persist in obedience. That's where this idea is coming from. And what is Jesus saying? He says, to obey what? Look at verse 20 again. All that I have commanded you. Well, then the question is, well, what did Jesus command us? You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 7, verse 12, because Jesus is referencing the Sermon on the Mount here. Verse 12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is something we know. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does Jesus say is the greatest commandment in another place? Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. But obviously, that's not really easy. Unless, you know, you're perfect and you have no problem loving your neighbor. I think we can all relate and know that doing these things and loving our neighbor and living it out isn't really easy. It actually gets very difficult. This might not be the most encouraging thing to read, if you read the next verse, or two verses down, Jesus says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Who find it are few. Like I said, not the most inviting message. Because Jesus says, if you want to enter eternal life, it is hard. It's narrow. And if we want to keep these things, I don't know, we can't do it by ourselves. Which brings us to my last point. If our purpose is with showing persistence, how do we do that? Our purpose is in his presence. Look at verse 20. In teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. I'm going to read that again at the end. I am with you always to the end of the age. And the beauty of this is I think this is what we're talking about as a church is discipleship is not a list of things to do. Discipleship is not a checklist. It is not, well, you got to do A, B, C, D, E. Oh, you didn't do E. Sorry, you're not getting in. You're not really a disciple, right? That is not the gospel. Discipleship is not a list of things to do, but a person to be. I'm going to say that again. Discipleship is not a list of things to do. It's not a checklist. It's a person to be. I love how this goes so well with what we're learning in 1 John. I think that is just God's sovereign, God being sovereign in what we're talking about. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have fellowship with the triune God. We know that Jesus ascended and sent his Holy Spirit to those who have faith. If you believe in Jesus, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? I have communion with God of the universe. And it is from that presence that we abide. It is from that presence that we lean on. And it is from that presence we operate everything else. All the other points I made today come not from our abilities, but from our salvation. It is in his presence. Like I said, Christianity is not this list of things to do. You won't find that in other religions. Islam will give you a list of things to do to get in. The Pharisees, parts of Judaism, keep the laws. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Buddhism, Taoism, you have to have so much self-control and so much self-discipline. And if you don't do it, it's on you. It is your fault. Legalism says, do and you will be saved. But the gospel of Jesus says this, you are saved, so go do. It's not making sure I'm perfect. Because if you could be perfect enough, Jesus died for nothing. That's what Paul says, Galatians 2:21. If righteousness could be gained by means of the law, then Christ died for nothing. If you could earn salvation on your own, there would be no reason to send Jesus. But because we couldn't do it on our own, God sent his son in his grace and his mercy. And if we believe, if we put our faith in him, he is just to forgive us and to make us new. And it is from that place we abide in his presence. And from that presence we operate everything else. So we looked, our purpose is where? At a place, is with the people, is to show persistence, and is in his presence. Now, everything I've said today only applies to a follower of Jesus. Let me say that again. Everything I have said today only applies, that purpose only applies to those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, if you have never repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've called upon his name in faith, if you have never had that moment in your life, I'm sorry, this does not apply to you. But the beauty of this and the beauty of the gospel is that this is available to you. If maybe you've never done that. My story is I grew up in church. My grandparents who are actually here today, they made sure I was in church all the time. But it wasn't until I was a teenager that I really actually put my faith in Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you know the lingo. Maybe you've heard the Great Commission, but you've never actually put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've never been in church. You're just here as a guest, or maybe you've been coming a couple times and this is still confusing to you. That's okay. What Jesus says is believe in him. That call is for you. And so if that's on your heart, if the Lord is convicting you of that, please reach out to someone. Come find me. Come find one of our pastors. Reach out to someone in your life group. We want to walk you through that. But for everybody else in the room, I want to conclude as followers of Jesus that we have a purpose. And I want to give you an example. This is my application for you. So earlier this week, I went to the dentist. And I remember I walked in, and I guess just because I'm no longer, you know, I guess I look kind of like a 20-year-old, like a 20-something. I walk in, and the hygienist sits me down, and she pulls up my x-rays. Has anyone done this before where they sit you? And I don't know why she was acting like I knew what this stuff meant, but she started to explain it to me. And she had these three screens, and there was x-rays, and there was numbers, and there was charts, and she started saying words that kind of scared me because I didn't know what that meant. It sounded expensive. I was like, what does that mean? And she was pointing to the numbers and saying, oh, this number, blah, 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 blah. And she started to clean my teeth, and she goes, Noah, what I want you to do for next time, so your teeth are better the next time you come in, do what you were doing. But she asked me, it's like, do you floss? And I said yes, which I do. I wasn't lying. And she said, do you floss? I said, yes, I do. And she goes, okay, Noah, when you floss, you just need to floss a little bit deeper. You need to dig a little bit deeper between your gums to make sure you're ready for next time. She didn't tell me buy the most expensive toothbrush. She didn't schedule 5 more appointments. I didn't have to get a whole brand new set of teeth. I didn't have to get dentures. I didn't have to get any. What she said was, you need to dig just a little bit deeper. And my call to you is, if you feel like you don't have a purpose, just dig a little bit deeper. If you feel like as a Christian you've lost that, dig a little bit deeper. It doesn't have to be so transformative where you completely have to change everything. But if you're already following Jesus, dig a little bit deeper. So what does that look like? Dig deeper at a place. Well, we said, as you were going, this is your family. This is your work. This is your school. Ask God, is there someone in your workplace that you need to reach out to, that you need to be a light to? Maybe you need to be asking God for that name. Ask for a name. Ask for a maybe there's someone at school, at the lunch table. Maybe there's someone on your team. Maybe there's someone that you know that you every time you see them at the grocery store, you feel like you need to be that person, a light of Jesus to them, make disciples. Who is that for you? That's going to be different for everyone. Dig deeper. Maybe it's digging deeper with a people, with the church of God. Honestly, what this looks like is being part of the local church. Commit to coming to church. I do not take for granted, and I don't think anyone here doesn't underestimate how hard it is to get to church on a Sunday morning. And like I said, maybe you're not like me, but maybe I'm the only one that really wants to sleep in, maybe gets in arguments with your spouse on the way to church, or maybe, you know, have these not so gracious moments. And there's a pastor that I really look up to. His name is Gavin Ortland. He's a pastor and a theologian. And he says what he does is with his family and his wife, they pray on Saturday night that God will give them grace to get to church on Sunday morning. Seriously, right? But that is so honest and that is so true. And I think we shouldn't take for granted the commitment it takes to be here at church. But so if that's you, if digging deeper for you is making a commitment, I call you to that. What does your schedule look like this summer when you can be here? But my next thing is maybe you've already made that commitment. You're here. Dig deeper. Find a place to volunteer. Church is not a place where we get to watch other people practice their gifts. Church is a place where we get to use our gifts for the benefit of the body. Find a place to serve here. We have so much opportunity. And if you're serving, dig deeper. How can you serve in a better way? How can you give more in your service? And then digging deeper, showing persistence. Maybe there's a way that you've been caught being a phony. Maybe there's something that you have going on behind closed doors that you need to bring to the light. Or maybe there's just something you do on a daily basis, you know, hey, I need to work on that. I would encourage you to bring that to the light. Bring that to someone else. Dig deeper in persistence. And finally, dig deeper in his presence. My challenge for you, digging deeper, it doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual walk. My encouragement to you is that this week, what's an extra 10 minutes you can spend abiding in the presence of God? 10 minutes. I don't want you to look at my screen time because I'm sure I have 10 minutes I can spare. This could be in the pickup line. This could be in the shower. This could be while making dinner. This could be right before you go to bed. Where is 10 minutes that you can give to the presence of God this week? And so all of these things is we have a purpose to make disciples. And that plays out at a place with the people to show persistence and in his presence. And church, my last thing is I want to say Jesus has given us everything we need to live according to our purpose. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a purpose and you have the means to live it out. And I just want to encourage you, you're not alone. We just talked about with the people. You are not alone in this walk. The Christian life was never meant to be alone. And so, yeah, it's hard, but that's what we're here for. And what I love about this is this applies to every person in the room, but also seniors, this applies to you. That no matter where you go, no matter what you do, next year, the next 4 years, for the rest of your life, you have the purpose. And you have the means to live it out no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, because our purpose is clear: to make disciples.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We hope that you are encouraged. Join us next week as we once again open God's Word.